This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome along to the official NBL One West radio show. Of course, our final show for season 2021. Our grand final and season wrap-up. Brett Costello with you. Over the next hour, we'll be speaking with Andrew Ferguson on the line. Yes, the men's grand final MVP and championship winner with the Perry Lakes Hawks, of course, getting up over the Rockingham Flames. 92-82. We also hope to chat with Simon Parker, head coach of the Willetton Tigers women, with his club getting up 65-54 over the Joondalup Wolves in their grand final. We'll also be chatting to regular contributor and co-host Ben Ettridge. We also hope to get the general manager of the NBL One West on the line, Adam Bowler, for his season wrap and some insights into what we can expect from season 2022 as well. All that and more as we celebrate the winners of NBL One West and we celebrate the season that was 2021 on the official NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. As we told you in the opener, our final show, of course, for season 21, our grand final and season review. On the line now, regular co-host and contributor Ben Ettridge. Welcome along for the final time in 2021.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brett. It's been a long season, and I think we've got two worthy champions in possession of some silverware at the end of as we've said, a very long and disjointed season, but I think we're all very thankful that we've managed to get through unscathed.
Well, of course, for anyone who doesn't already know, the Perry Lakes Hawks in the men got up over the Rockingham Flames 92-82, and the Willetton Tigers in the women's getting up over the Joondalup Wolves 65-54. I think from a league perspective, they'd have to be really happy that both of those games were, all teams were still in it come midpoint of the fourth quarter pretty much.
Yeah, excellent viewing. I know on Friday night I tuned in and watched the women's game and again came down to that last 3 or 4 minutes where the Tigers just pulled away and the same thing for the men's game. I was lucky to be at the men's game on Saturday and to see that game unfold live. It was a great product that the NBL One put out for the fans to watch.
So thinking about the men's maybe in the first instance, obviously Andrew Ferguson, we'll be speaking with him a little bit later, was named the MVP of that game. But who were the standouts from your perspective?
Oh, look, Ferguson was outstanding in this game. He showed his full repertoire, dominated inside and then stepped outside and hit some key shots. And defensively, he filled those gaps that the Hawks like him to do so they can get out and pressure the lanes. And Tom Jervis was a worthy adversary. A couple of sort of soft touch fouls really hampered his performance. And I thought maybe a dark horse for the MVP was your man, Matt Leary. I thought his perimeter game really sort of opened things up for the Hawks. I thought he was outstanding as well in that game.
Well, and what surprised me about him, actually, when I went back to the box scores, we knew that he'd scored 17 points, but he'd actually done that in just less than 17 minutes. So his effectiveness had really been quite great, including that half-court heave towards three-quarter time, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, you're right. And I think at one stage someone read the stats out and said he had his 17 points and he was shooting 71% from the floor. And when you consider he's predominantly a perimeter player, to be shooting such a high clip. Just outstanding from Matt Leary, as we'd seen throughout the season.
Look, Coach Parsons, probably as you'd expect in a grand final, kind of tightening up his rotations a little bit. A few guys not getting court time, even experienced heads like Robbie Kassir, probably with a little less court time than they may have usually been used to through the season. But Ben Purser, another big contribution from the co-captain.
Yeah, you're always going to get that from Ben in the big games. He just goes about his business and accumulates his stat line. Every possession, he's playing at 100%. And there was a couple of times there, just his defensive work off the ball, either shut down a Bior or a Greg Heise attempt to sort of get in the paint and seal. And just those little things that stand out from Ben. Just an amazing achievement in that game for him.
We spoke to Greg Hire last week, and we know how much he wanted this win, and we know how much he wanted it for the likes of Ryan Godfrey, who really bleed Rockingham. I thought they looked really good when Godfrey was shooting, and his contribution and leadership was excellent for Rockingham, and you really had to feel for him not being able to carry the boys over the line.
Yeah, and I think as we saw, it means a lot to someone like Greg because he's putting it all out there on the line. And when you've got a guy like a Ryan Godfrey who's been the backbone of that club since he was a junior, those are the guys you want to go out and you want to get these things done for. So, but yeah, Buff was great. He had a purple patch there to start the second half. I think he hit a couple of threes in a row, which really sort of got the flames up and about. And at that point, you were sort of thinking, well, here it is, they're going to make their run. And but in true Perry Lake style, they weathered that storm and were able to sort of get the game back into their hand. But you know, Greg again, as you expect, left it all out on the floor. Was really impressed with Atem Bior. I think he's someone that, if he sticks around in this league for the Flames, he's going to be a very, very handy player for them. So, and young Brendan Redhead, just amazing to see a Rockingham junior, sort of 18 years of age, stepping onto the floor in a big game and not taking a backward step against the likes of Rob Kassir or Mitch Clark. You know, he's only going to get better for that experience and sort of put the Rockingham Flames with a sort of an heir apparent to Buff as he sort of winds down his career.
Thinking about the women then, as we mentioned, the Willetton Tigers getting up 65-54 over the Joondalup Wolves, and the league MVP also taking out the grand final MVP in this one.
Yeah, look, just a great game there from the Tigers. As we said, they were probably the ones that are a little bit more hungry, having heard Desiree Kelly speak about what it meant and to have a team that was predominantly made up of Willetton juniors and Simon Parker himself coming through as a Willetton junior. You've got to admire what they've done there and perhaps having that little bit of a break between the success, 2016 being the last time that they won a championship, the Wolves coming off their West Coast Classic Championship. It's always hard to repeat as a champion. Rarely do you see it happen, and maybe that was kind of the motivation that was missing. I know I spoke to Coach Nix on Saturday night, and look, he was sort of looking at it as one that perhaps had got away from them. They were confident that they had the cattle to get it done. So, but great job there by Simon Parker and his Willetton Tigers.
And they certainly had all the motivation with Kayla Steindl's last game before relocating to Tasmania to join Clint over there, of course. I mentioned Alex Sharp, her 13 points and 15 rebounds, getting her the grand final MVP, not to be outdone by Desiree Kelly, who we spoke to last week, with 16 points, including some sharp shooting, 3 of 9 from downtown for Desiree. Good game for her.
Yeah, shades of her dad, as we mentioned, Vince Machine Gun Kelly, back in the Coburn versus Wanneroo grand final when the Wolves got up in that one. It was Vince Kelly leading the way for the Wolves in a similar type performance, dominating the scoreboard and going in and getting those key rebounds down the stretch and a couple of defensive plays that really sort of put it out of reach for the Wolves.
I'm interested to know the playing opportunities for the likes of Kayla Steiner once she does get over to Tasmania, because some of her one-foot step backs that she was doing, and she's too much of a talent just to be tucked away somewhere in Tassie and not continuing to play, I would have thought.
Yeah, I'd say she's going to pick up a contract somewhere on the East Coast. As you say, too good of a player to not be playing basketball. And look, I'm not quite sure what the injury was at the end of the game. Nixie was a little bit, kept that one a bit close to his chest there, but hopefully it was just a cramp and that sort of took her out at the end. But look, I'm sure she'll be picking up something on the East Coast very, very soon.
Well, thanks for your insights into those grand finals. We'll talk to you a little bit later on when we look at our lost SBL segment and wrap things up for season 2021. We'll be back after the break to speak with Andrew Ferguson here on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello with you for all your local basketball action as we round out the grand final results from the weekend. And in the men, of course, the Perry Lakes Hawks getting up over the Rockingham Flames. And as promised, we're now joined on the line by the finals MVP, Andrew Ferguson. Welcome along to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Now, if someone told you at the start of the year that you're going to be runner-up in the MVP, you're going to take home the championship and get the finals MVP, I imagine you would have been pretty happy with that lot in life.
Yeah, probably would have said that'd be a heck of a year.
Did you set any goals for yourself at the start of the year? And I've got a sense that you probably smashed them all with that record.
As a team, personally, just wanted the team success, you know, try to win that championship. From a personal point of view, I more just set little smaller goals and, you know, just kind of try to achieve those and know that kind of leads to the bigger stuff at the end of the day.
Look, you seem to fit in really seamlessly, obviously, to the squad down there at the Hawks, as did the other new recruit, Lewis Thomas. How did that seem to work so easily for you?
Honestly, cause it's just a really good group of guys. I've already built that culture there, Paso, the last few years, and have a bunch of guys, good leaders and guys that try in. So it was very easy to transition.
You may or may not know, but my son, who plays under 20, is actually trained with the Hawks in the preseason. And he came home from one of the first trainings. He said, "Dad, if Hawks don't win the title this year, I'm going to be really surprised. They've got this new 7-foot guy who can shoot. They've got Lewis Thomas. It seems to be a really great team and a great unit." And it sounds like that was your experience, a very positive one to take forward.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was good having him down there. It was honestly a great year.
So looking ahead now, I know that keeping your amateur status was quite important to you, and I understand you're going to be heading back to college. So what can you tell people? What are your plans from here?
Yeah, so jump on a flight, 6:25 a.m. tomorrow morning. Still just waiting to get my final COVID test back, that's what you need to get on the plane to America. It's all kind of been happening since the grand final, and yeah, going to head back to hopefully my last year of college, finish that off, hopefully have some success over there at Cal State Monterey Bay, the Otters. And about to jump on that flight.
Okay, so people who want to maybe check you out in the college programs, if they can get some linkages with some footage over there.
It's California State Monterey Bay.
Okay.
So it'll be just a spot in an hour down from San Francisco, Monterey Bay, like Pebble Beach type area. Pretty lucky to be going back to California.
Excellent time of year and some nice weather over there as well, I imagine, in Cali.
Just coming out of summer over there, so that'll be nice.
And are you quite familiar with the squad members there, or have you got some new additions in the time that you've had away from the States?
We definitely have some new additions. It actually worked out pretty well. But a couple of guys who transferred would have had to sit out last year because the season got cancelled. They'll be back, so... we've had a fair few strong pieces, a bunch of shooters and a bunch of guys which can really play. I think it's going to be a very good situation for me, just in terms of the coach and back me the whole time since I left to, you know, have a real, real good year. And he's going to keep putting me in positions to get the ball and make plays, which I'm super excited about and super excited to try and help lead the team to what will be its first silverware when we get there. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, you've already been connected with the Perth Wildcats program at that developmental player level to obviously keep your amateur status. Is that sort of in your sights after college? Can Wildcats fans perhaps look forward to welcoming you back, or are you looking further afield?
I'd love to play at the Wildcats. You know, obviously, Perth boy, the culture there and everything's, you know, world class, as I got to experience this last year. Obviously been a fan growing up, so I'd love to do that. But yeah, just keep my options open and see what happens after my year in Monterey.
I did hear Jenny at Hawks make it pretty clear that not only were you welcome back at Hawks, but she was making it pretty clear that you should be and have to be back at Hawks.
Yeah, a bit of a dorky message, but no, I love Jenny. She's been nothing but great. And yeah, definitely, that is definitely on the cards. I'm hoping to wrap up that season in Monterey Bay, come back, go again with the Hawks, and yeah, really, really have that hopefully kickstart the professional career.
We'd like to take the chance to wish you all the best for your time in the States. Of course, congratulations on the championship on behalf of Hawks and also on that grand final MVP effort.
Thank you very much.
Good luck for the future, and we hope to see you back in WA again soon.
Sounds good. Cheers, mate.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Welcome back. Brett Costello with you. And on the line, we've got Simon Parker, the head coach of the Willetton Tigers. And, of course, getting the win in the women's grand final on the weekend. First of all, congratulations, of course.
Mate, thanks, Brett, and thanks for having me on the show. It's not every day you get to play in front of a such a big crowd on that sort of stage, you know, and it was just an amazing experience, and that I was just very proud of the girls got the win on the night.
Well, I wanted to ask you, after having spoke with Desiree Kelly last week in the lead up to the grand final, it seemed really important to her and also important to the group about the large number of Tigers faithful, I guess you could say, in the squad, and included in that yourself, who've really been involved with the Tigers for many a year.
Yeah, no, it was just fantastic for those. Specifically, those three girls, Des, Emma and Sophie, because they were in the group in 2016. And I think it just came full circle to it was their time, because they were basically bench players on that group, and now it was their time to be the leaders for the team. And then the rest of the squad was actually made up of Willetton people, which is a great achievement itself. So.
And what a season for Alex Sharp. The league MVP, top that off with the grand final MVP.
Yeah, amazing player. She just has this ability to do a lot of things, to play multiple positions, bring people into the game as well, you know, averaging a double just about weekly, two or three triple doubles through the season. So it was a really great recruit for the club.
And I understand she's now been included in that Opals team for the Asian Cup for a bit. What's the next steps for her, do you know?
Yeah, I think after that, another link season, and then we're hoping that she hangs around and she re-signs with us for the 2022 NBL One season. So, yeah, but best of luck to her with that. I think it's a fantastic achievement and well deserved for her.
Yeah, a couple of players with connections to the NBL One West getting that call up, which was fantastic. Looking at the Joondalup Wolves, they, of course, battled really hard under Coach Nix. Kayla Steindl is certainly a rare talent, that's for sure.
Yeah, just listening to some of the interviews, that she was obviously someone we needed to work very hard on. I think we did on the night, and she still had some good numbers. But I think we sort of won that battle. But we just wish her the best of luck to her in the next phase down in Tasmania there with Clint.
Yes, I'm wondering, she can't just be stashed down there. Someone's bound to pick her up, and she'll be playing again before too long, I would have thought.
Yeah, no doubt one of the Tasmanian teams, which I think both are pretty close to the top of the ladder in the NBL One Central. So, yeah, it'll be a great addition to one of those teams.
Circling back to Desiree Kelly, we spoke to her about her hot shooting form probably towards that last third of the season. It particularly seemed to increase, and that continued for her in the grand final as well.
Yeah, I just think she could see what was at the head of the tunnel. You know, she just didn't want to lose, and she just did whatever she had to do to make the team win, and I think everyone just got on board with that, and made it very successful. She was outstanding on the back end of the season, and I think she capped it off wonderfully with her performance in the grand final. You know, the jumping on loose balls at the time that you needed to, and those sorts of plays, the 1%ers that we come up with. So, I'm very proud of what she did.
Now, I understand the what stays in Vegas type of rule, but how are the celebrations post game, and how much can you tell us?
We had a few drinks on Friday night back at one of the girls' house, and then had a massive Saturday night down in Fremantle, and caught up with the men's team afterwards around about 11, 12 o'clock. But we celebrate that very well. So they all had a great time.
And I imagine all of the club is sort of involved in that celebration, because with these NBL One West clubs, which for the most part are still community-based associations, there's a lot of people who contribute to these successes.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we've got a lot of people to thank, which we've got our awards night on Saturday night, which I've got a a massive list, but, you know, all these things can't be done without all those people, you know, and it showed with the amount of people that turned up for the grand final. I think we sold over 400 tickets through the club, which was fantastic. But it's just for the whole season as well. You don't get those game nights and that sort of format with NBL One now without those sorts of people. So they'll be getting a huge thank you from us on Saturday night at the awards.
And in terms of yourself, I imagine you'll be back again for season 2022?
Yeah, we've had a two-year contract with this, which is good. So, roll into next year. And, yeah, really looking forward to it. Actually, I really enjoyed this year, especially seeing what was going on with the pandemic. And, you know, we sort of missed out a little last year and rolled into this year. And it was just a huge platform for all athletes to play on and just look and see where it can go in 2022.
Everyone seems to have been very positive about the change to NBL One West. And to be fair, there hasn't been any drawbacks that have been particularly apparent. Has your experience been equally positive aside from the championship?
Yeah, no, it's about just, you know, even just going home and watching, be able to watch the games on NBL One and huddle and those things, and then listening to the commentary, which you don't get to hear, and then, you know, and the crowds were huge, which you don't really get that. And then, you know, all the sponsorship and just all the stuff that went with it, mate. It was just next level.
Certainly. And in terms of your lineup for 2022, is it too early to start hypothesising about that? We can guarantee that some of those Tigers stalwarts will be back.
Yes, all the Tigers girls we had from Willetton should be back. We have our meetings next week with those players just to close out the season. But no, we're still hoping that Sam and Alex will hang around and go into 2022 and maybe a couple of other little additions, possibly.
Well, there we go. Yeah, keep your cards a little close to your chest at least anyway.
That's it. So.
Well, look, we appreciate you coming on the show and congratulations once again to yourself, the team and all of the Willetton Tigers club on a fantastic season.
No, I really appreciate it, mate. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Appreciate your time. Leaving us there, Simon Parker, head coach, victorious head coach of the Women's Willetton Tigers. We'll be back after the break on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. We've already spoken to the victorious Perry Lakes Hawks and also the Willetton Tigers in the women. Now it's time to speak down the line with the general manager of the NBL One West, Adam Bowler. Welcome along.
Hi, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. I think it's fair to say that no matter who you speak to, the NBL One West launch in season 2021 has been a resounding success.
Yeah, what an amazing weekend to showcase the West. I think we've been around long enough, Brett, you and I, to know the SBL was already a great product, but there's no doubt that what we put on display on the weekend really showed our friends over in the East how good our league is, and I'm just so proud of everyone involved. We had huge crowds at the grand finals, and it was so good to see so many kids and families in the crowd, and our women's game was our highest women's game ever, and obviously the men's sold out, and we smashed all the live stream records, and that's, we haven't even counted the KO numbers yet, but any record around the country for NBL One was smashed out of the park, and obviously two close games and the two minor premiers won. I just wish we were heading to a national final to put ourselves on display to the rest of the country.
Now, I forgot to ask Simon Parker about that, and I guess I didn't want to be too much of a downer either, but yes, I imagine clubs will be reflecting on that a little bit, that if we'd been in a different non-COVID environment, they would have been heading to that sort of final four.
Yeah, absolutely, and we did everything we could to make it happen, but I think everyone knows the situation, and our thoughts really go out to everyone else in Victoria and New South Wales, and obviously we know that the North competition didn't get to have a complete season and they've gone straight into finals. But we were just so lucky over here and I think we're all pretty appreciative of that and that we had full crowds and we got to get through a full season. But it definitely wasn't easy, but we got there.
For sure. Now, look, you mentioned the product on display in those two grand finals. And grand finals can go either way. You do sometimes, unfortunately, have a bit of a blowout. But it was fantastic that both of those games were really still up for deciding halfway through that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I was talking to some people after the game and we said, when was the last time we saw a women's and a men's final where it was almost level scores going into the last quarter? And it just added to the spectacle And it just showed, you know, we clearly had the two best teams from the women's team, and what a great game that was. And the men's game was just so hotly contested. You know, they wanted it so bad. And it was just, it was exciting to watch. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
I'm sure that they did. And the whole season, in fact, with the live streams, as you mentioned, really giving people a lot more access to games that they may not have otherwise seen. Do you know more of the plans for 2022? It's obviously early days now, but where can we expect the NBL One West to be heading in the future?
Well, you know, speaking about the live stream, I still remember NBL boss Dean Anglin giving me his vision at the end of 2019. And if you told me every single game would be live streamed this year, that commentators locally every game, producers on every game, three major sponsors, a naming rights sponsor, we learnt a completely new competition software within a couple of months, and a new stats package, websites built for every single team. You know, we had Scott Machado playing for the Mandra Magic. I would have just told you you're crazy to be able to pull that off, but even in COVID times, we managed to do it, and have to give so much credit to our clubs and our volunteers. It was just amazing to see what we could do. But looking forward to next year, we have to sit back now and review the season. We've got all our clubs doing an operation and a finance review with us on September 20. I'll continue to meet with the state managers and see what we can improve on. You know, the clubs really took it to a new level under NBL One, and the game night presentations were amazing. You know, Brett being involved as a commentator, what goes on in the back end for those live streams. It was a heck of a lot of work from a lot of people involved. There's a lot going on. But as for next year, obviously, you've got the Goldfields women's team coming in. We're going to fine-tune that live streaming process. I think all of our commentators, you know, this was their first year. A lot of them are amateur. They haven't done it before. So they're only going to be better, and that's the same with everyone involved, from our statisticians to our producers. And then we're obviously going to be on KO next year. So there's a lot to be excited about.
Look, it's certainly worth saying, after the first few weeks of the games, once we perhaps got some nerves out of the way, the level and professionalism of the commentators, every stream that I tune into, I was always really impressed with everyone's work.
Yeah, it surprised me. We ran auditions at the start of the season, and I didn't know what we were going to get. And you know, we had a different mix of people who have done some radio work and some people who have never, ever been on a microphone before. And to see what we ended up getting out of these, as I said, amateur commentators, just doing it for a nominal fee on a night. You know, some of them were almost at a professional level, and I think they could take it to go to an NBL level. But it was just incredible to see what we could get from some of these people who have never done it before, and they just jumped in and gave it a go. So full credit to all of them.
And colour commentary from some of the legends and club contacts and so on, also fantastic. I'd love to hear some more women on the women's call, so I wonder how we can recruit some more ladies to get involved in that side of it.
Absolutely. Mel Sinfield, if you're listening, I want you on every week next year. She was amazing, but absolutely. The women, we want them to get involved, and I think this is a perfect opportunity. And we've already had a number of females from present players and coaches who want to get involved next year. And this is all part of it. You know, we're going to watch it evolve. We've seen people, you know, get in and give it a go. And other people with the special commentary, they're saying, hey, I could actually do that for you. So, yeah, we're really excited, and I think we'll see some more familiar faces and female faces on the call next year.
Well, hoping with COVID being under control, perhaps by next year at least, what's the target month for tip-off season 2022?
Yeah, so the target month will be mid-April to tip off, and we want to align our end date so we have the national finals with all the other states. And we just got to keep all of our fingers and toes crossed that the world fixes itself in some ways, and COVID doesn't impact us too much. We've put some different measures in play for next year. The salary cap's being increased slightly to $62,500 per team, and we're allowing for a marquee player. So your Scott Machados and people like that will be able to be recruited into the league for only a small percentage going into the salary cap, which is really exciting, and it allows for teams to bring over potentially these imports who can have a big impact on our communities. I always look back at someone like Trey Nichols and the impact he had down in Southwest and how many kids he brought to the game. I'm so excited to see that happen. And with this new marquee rule coming into play. And then obviously, hopefully COVID has been under control and we can get some imports back in this league. But that's really exciting for next season.
Certainly sounds like an excellent initiative there with the marquee player. A few clubs will be chomping at the bit for that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a good decision, and we've had nothing but positive feedback. We want those marquee players. We saw the impact Scott Machado had this year down in Mandurah and across the league. And if we can recruit those guys and girls into this league, I think there's no doubt in my mind we're going to see NBL players start putting their hand up to come play in the NBL one. They've seen the product we put out there. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited by what it can do.
We're down the line with the general manager of the NBL One West, Adam Bowler. Thank you so much for your time and for all of your efforts during season 2021.
Thanks, Brett.
And we'll be back on the other side of this on the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello with you as we round things out in season 2021. With the regular seasons completed in the NBL One Central, NBL One North, and NBL One West, the clubs around the country are beginning to celebrate their end-of-year awards nights. In the West, the Geraldton Buccaneers MVP, Mattiang Mo, and the runner-up MVP, Aaron Ralph. Best team member was Will Galvin, the leading scorer, Mattiang Mo, and the average assist per game leader, Brandon Holloway. For the Eastern Suns, the women's MVP, Jewel Williams, probably no surprise there, the runner-up Elise Ironmonger, the men's most valuable player for the Suns, and a player that we saw improve a lot during season 2021, Jermaine Marley, and the runner-up Ryan Blanchett, the defensive player of the year out there at Kalamunda, Brendan Donato. We're down the line now with sports journalist Chris Pike, a regular guy covering the NBL One West. You were probably at a huge bulk of the games in season 2021. What was your takeaways from the year?
Yeah, I think it was a terrific season in the end, and it's been a pleasure to join you and chat as much as I have. Perhaps the first half of the season would have been nice, but the NBL season's kind of coincided a little bit too much, so hopefully we get some clear air next year and we can have the NBL One season not coinciding with the NBL season itself. But aside from that, I think the quality of our competition was tremendous this season, and the greatest positive is that so many people were able to see it. With New South Wales and Victoria in lockdown for so much of this second half of our season, if they wanted to watch basketball, they had to tune into our competition, which I think is a fantastic thing. And that's why joining up with the NBL One to go this route was such a positive. And I think it's going to lead to some great things, because it's great that we're being seen by so many people. But what that means is that the great job that our coaches have been doing will be recognised and can open up opportunities for them across the country. And same for our players. All of a sudden, our players will be seen by a lot more people. Recruiting them will become a lot easier across the country, and I think that's the great positive out of this season. And we ended up with two grand finals on the weekend. You know, over 4,000 people attended the two grand finals, which was a massive result, and thousands more watching on the live streams and on KO. So I think it was a season full of positives when the rest of the country was just wishing they could be doing what we were doing.
And we've essentially still got imports to come as well. So this season, for the most part, was on the back of no or limited restricted players. We just spoke with Adam Bowler earlier. There's going to be a new marquee player rule potentially coming in next year, as I understand it. So you'll be able to have that Scott Machado or someone outside of your salary cap and really give that injection into the local clubs and associations with all that those high-profile players bring.
Yeah, I think that's massive. I mean, we saw what a boost Scott Machado made when he joined the Mandurah Magic, and it was an amazing thing. Every away game Mandurah played when Machado was in the team, the opposition club didn't sell tickets at the door. You had to prepay your tickets, and they were virtually a sellout at every venue that Scott Machado played at. So if other clubs can follow that suit, and if it also doesn't have to, you know, come out of the salary cap and, And you know, that marquee rule is an exciting one. We've seen it work in the NBL. We've seen it work across other sports to attract some huge names, and especially if they could be NBL quality players. If a couple of Wildcats players come back and play in the league, you know, next year, especially if it's someone from interstate like a Scott Machado, who's an absolute superstar. Only 18 months ago, he was runner-up in the MVP voting to Bryce Cotton. Or even if it could be Bryce Cotton himself. I mean, imagine if this time next year we're talking about Bryce Cotton helping to lead, I don't know who, let's say an East Perth Eagles to a drought-breaking championship. That could be pretty remarkable. That's the sort of things that it opens up. And I think the fact that we've joined up with the NBL One, it becomes a real possibility. So I think, yeah, the excitement is endless about what the future could hold once we start to get imports back in, and some of those NBL players can now become marquee players too.
Well, the Perry Lakes Hawks and the Willetton Tigers have written themselves into the NBL One West record books as the inaugural champions for the men's and the women's. Your takeaways from the weekend?
I really enjoyed both games. I think we got two fitting grand finals, starting with the women on Friday night. A record crowd, which was great to see. And I think both those clubs deserve to be playing in front of a big crowd. And it was tough to separate Willetton and Joondalup throughout the whole season. And the grand final was the same way until the last quarter. I think it was the depth of the Tigers. They just had a few too many weapons. And when it was, you know, girls like Desiree Kelly, Emma Gandini with their defense, Hayley Winter hitting big shots, and we know what their superstars, Alex Sharp and Sam Lubke, could do. I think that was the difference. Kayla Steinle battled hard and did what she could. Nashaya Williams fought hard, even though she hurt her ankle there in the third quarter. But, yeah, it was the depth of the Tigers. Simon Park has done a remarkable job. Fully deserved, and full credit to him. And they're going to be tough to beat next year. I would imagine the Wolves would undergo a fair degree of change. Obviously, Kayla Steiner will move on. I would probably expect Charles Nix to move into the men's job at the Wolves. So I would expect that to be announced relatively soon. So there'll be a change at the Wolves. As for the men's grand final, Perry Lakes were the best team all season, and I think that's shone in the end. But boy, did Rockingham give it a crack. And I think they deserve to be proud of the effort that they put in. Greg Hyer threw everything at it in that third quarter. Ryan Godfrey, you know, got going in the second half. And I can't help but think what could have been different if Tom Jervis stayed out of foul trouble. And instead of playing 19 minutes, he plays 30 minutes. I can't help think the game might have been different. But full credit to Perry Lakes. They were the best team all season. Deserved the win. They won because they were a deeper team, and they were a more cohesive unit in the end. That was the difference. And Matt Parsons, three-time championship-winning coach now, all three of them since 2016, he has to be going up in the rankings as one of the all-time greatest coaches that we've seen in his league, and he's far from done yet. So, yeah, I really enjoyed what we saw from both grand finals.
And I think Matt Leary was probably one of the finds of season 2021. His 17 points in less than 17 minutes, not to be discounted.
To me, he was probably the biggest difference. We expected Andrew Ferguson to play like he did. You probably expect the leaders of Perry Lakes with Robbie Cassier, Ben Purser and Ryan Smith to do what they did. But Matt Leary, all season long, he's been the one that stepped up to make all the big shots. And even though Rockingham got going early in the last quarter, I still point to that play on three-quarter time where Matt Leary hit that half-court shot on the buzzer. In fairness, it probably was an offensive foul. And in fairness, I think Greg Hyer had a very good case to make. But once they called it was a fair foul, once the tech foul went against Greg Hyer, I just felt like that was the biggest moment of the game. And I know Rockingham ended up taking the lead early in the last quarter, and Perry Lakes had to find a way back from there. But, yeah, that performance from Matt Leary, he's the one player that wasn't there. One of the players that wasn't there from 2018 to 2021 made a huge difference. And he's got a hell of a future. And I said to Matt Parsons after the game, you can build your club around someone like him for the next 10 years. And I think that's what the plans are, certainly at Perry Lakes. I mean, I guess one more thing. At this point of year, it's always fascinating to see what changes are happening around the league. As of today, Blake Strideb has announced that he stepped down as coach at the East Perth Eagles. So the reigning coach of the year won't be coaching at East Perth.
That's a bit of a surprise.
I would be amazed if he if that doesn't mean that he's got a job somewhere else, I would certainly, sure. I'd be amazed if he's not coaching in the league going forward to next year, given how great of a job he did at East Perth. So I'm looking forward to seeing where he lands for next year because, you know, we know what a great job he did. So that was a bit of a surprise that that's been announced as of now. And I imagine there's going to be plenty of other jobs. So that, I would imagine that Joondalup Wolves women's job will be available. We know the Kalamunda Eastern Suns men's job is up for grabs, and
yes,
fascinating to see if that ends up in your co-host hands, Ben Ettridge. So I don't think he's given too much away yet, but I think he's I think he's very much the front runner for that job. And so the coaching jobs around this time of year is always fascinating.
Yeah,
so
some of the semi-country jobs are potentially coming up as well from what we're hearing. And I'm talking about, you know, Slammers men, Magic men, and then Buccaneers men as well are potentially turning over soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We know Dale Joseph has asked for some time to consider his future. I don't think we expect Mark Worthington back at the Slammers. And it'd be interesting what happens with Aaron Trahair also at the Magic. I mean, the key to those clubs, especially I think Geraldton Goldfields and the Slammers, is that they need to get imports. It's so hard. The COVID years, the last 2 years for them have been so tough. They need to be able to get some quality imports into those programs, but also looking forward to next year. The Goldfields Giants will have a women's team in the competition.
Yes.
So that they just came off making the grand final in the Wobble competition. So and last year we saw them play in the West Coast Classic at you know, as well, and field a team there to play. So it's going to be fascinating to see how they go in the competition next year. I think it can only be a good thing, and I expect them to make a splash in terms of recruiting. There's been some really good female players come out of Kalgoorlie that haven't been able to play in the SBL or NBL 1 because they haven't had a team. So I expect them to make some big news on the recruiting front and in terms of their coach in the coming weeks too.
Well, we really appreciate your insights during season 2021, Chris, and hope to be speaking to you again perhaps next season, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks for all of your support.
Pleasure, Chris. Good to chat with you down the line there Chris Pike, sports journalist. You can see all of his writing on the NBL One West website, of course, involved with the basketball on many levels and across all sorts of sports. We'll be back to wrap things up on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show. We welcome back Ben Ettridge as we take a look at our lost SBL segment. It was our local league for 30 years right through from 1989 to 2019. And this year we're featuring 2007. It was the year that the Goldfield Giants in the men got up over the Lakeside Lightning, and they were getting some revenge for the year before, I guess, Ben.
Yeah, having gone through the agony of defeat in the 06 grand final, the Giants getting up and getting the win in this one in 2007 against a worthy adversary there in Andy Stewart and the Lakeside Lightning.
Well, it's just a two-point game. It was actually Lakeside who'd been top of the regular season ladder with a 20-4 record. The Giants, though, a handy record in second place with 17-7.
Yeah, and the Giants benefiting from the relocation of a couple of young Willetton Tigers in Seamus Ballantyne and Mark Heron, who'd both moved up there for work and became sort of the backbone of that team over this period of time.
The MVP that year was Aaron Shaw for the men.
Yeah, great player there for the Lakeside Lightning.
And the men's coach of the year also with the Lakeside Lightning, it was Andy Stewart in 2007.
Yeah, Andy making a habit of accumulating coach of the year trophies during this run.
Certainly did. Taking a look at the women now, it was another mini run for the Perry Lakes Hawks in this grand final, somewhat surprisingly getting up over the Stirling Senators 66-40 in quite a low scoring game actually there for the Senators after having been the minor season champions with a 20-2 record, sweeping through the Wolves in the quarterfinals and then the Lightning in the semifinals, eventually going down to the Hawks and only able to get that 40 points, a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and I think the leadership and the experience of the Perry Lakes Hawks on the big stage really showing through in this one. Rick Morgan and his team really setting the standard in the women's SBL back then.
The 2007 women's MVP, though, was Christine Boyd.
Christine Boyd, a dominant centre in the women's game. You know, centres are extremely valuable, dominating at both ends of the floor. Great shot blocker and rebounder in her time.
Plying her trade there at the Perth Redbacks, while the coach of the year in the women's, bit of a legend, and in fact his third coach of the year award in 2007 that went to Rick Morecambe.
Yeah, Rick Morecambe, again, set up the dynasty there for the Perry Lakes Hawks. Both his daughters playing in the team at that time, Kim and Priest Morecambe, and you know, that's a great achievement by Rick, and still very highly regarded by lots of coaches around the league that remember him treading the boards back in the mid-2000s.
Well, we've looked back now, back far into history for 2007, but a couple of teams have got themselves into the more recent history books, and of course it's the Willetton Tigers in the ladies and the Perry Lakes Hawks in the men. Can we count on you for season 2022, Ben? How have you enjoyed the NBL One West and this very radio show and podcast?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. Again, any time that I can talk basketball and share some views and speak to some pretty special people. I think speaking to Chris Ainsty this year was a massive highlight for me. And then the likes of Wurtho and guys like that jumping on board and sharing the game and their experiences has been amazing. So, yeah, look, if it all fits, would love to be a part of it next year. But, yeah, I'll definitely be somewhere sitting on a sideline of an NBL One West game, whether it's in an assistant coach capacity or just watching the game and enjoying the product that's out there. I think it's the game's in a very good spot, and we're moving forward and only bigger things to come.
For me, and I guess I had some personal involvement in this, the steps that the league made as part of the NBL One West with the live streams, which then flows down to your highlights packages, which also flows into your social media content, having a Nick Pozoglou dunk, you know, on your Facebook page or your Instagram, I think really does drive the product. And we saw that with a sold-out men's grand final, which is probably not uncommon, but one of the biggest crowds, understand, for the women's grand final as well that they've ever had in Western Australia.
Yeah, no, it was just great. Again, the product that was on the screen at home when I was watching it on Friday night was sensational. And then to be at the game, there's always a great atmosphere there. BWA do a great job of putting on those sorts of shows. And you know, one of the things that we were speaking about was, you know, it would be great to see that maybe the men's and women's games get moved to be on the same night. And in the not too distant future, it would be absolutely amazing to see these games played at RAC Arena. We're a national competition. It's the pinnacle of the league, you know, and I'd say 95% of the people playing in this league would never get an opportunity to play on such a big big stage and in an arena like that. So, you know, if there's any moves that the league can make or some type of partnership we can make to get the games being played there, I think that would be absolutely phenomenal and make it even more of a showcase for our league.
Well, certainly something to think about for the future there. I think I like that one, Pearl of Wisdom. Ben Ettridge,
yeah.
We'll tick that one off here.
I don't mind throwing a few cats amongst the pigeons and things like that, but I think, why not? We're the fastest growing sport, one of the biggest participation sports. The game's going from strength to strength. Let's shoot for the stars. And we might get to the moon. So that's, you know, that's my philosophy.
Well, just take a moment to thank you for all of your time and input into the NBL One West radio show. We've appreciated your insights from a coaching perspective and also your long and lengthy involvement with the old SBL and now the NBL One West.
No, thank you. You've made my job very easy, made me sound very good on the radio and being very patient with me, being stuck in traffic and arriving late every now and again. So, you're doing a great job and, good luck with everything that comes from this.
We appreciate that, Ben. And I guess for the last time now in season 2021, we're signing off on behalf of the official NBL One West radio show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.